Hey, what's happening, everybody? New episode of What's Up With Danny podcast coming at ya. It's the first episode we've done in a long time, since July, I think. Sorry about the delay. Getting back at it. Got a few episodes coming out this week. Today's episode, it is September 10th, 2019. Today's episode is with Jessica Harper. If you remember, she did an episode earlier in the year, and so this was the second episode with her. We talked about a lot of stuff. I'm not going to really do a recap of the episode. I'll let you just kind of hear it, and then you can hear what we talked about. I don't really think I need to recap them anymore, because you're just going to listen to them anyway, and then you'll find out. But still like doing these intros. Should have a few more episodes out this week. I think I'm gonna put out an episode tomorrow with my buddy Cam. He was the drummer in Audrey, also in Tiger and Secret Grief. He has a new music project out. We talked a little bit about that too. And then I'll have another episode out later this week, probably Friday, with Mike Schertenlieb, who also did an episode earlier this year. So we did a second episode on Sunday with him. I hope you all enjoy this episode with Jessica. I got two more episodes I'm recording this week. One with the band Brother Adams, and then possibly with some of the dudes in the band Farrowin on Thursday. We still need to figure out a time, but I think those will be coming out sometime next week, probably too. Getting back at the podcast. Really excited to throw myself back into this again and start kicking out some episodes, hopefully. I had the goal to do one a week for the whole year, which means 52 episodes, and I'm about 20 away from that. So I think today's is episode 33, maybe. So technically, I guess we're 19 away from that now. So hopefully we'll reach that goal. And I appreciate you listening. Rate, review, subscribe if you haven't already. Anywhere you listen to podcasts that allows some sort of review or rating, do that. It's very helpful. I'm also on Facebook. What's up, facebook.com/whatsupwithdanny podcast, probably. And Instagram also, What's Up With Danny podcast, but you put the @ symbol in front of it. No hexing shows to plug, because I don't know enough about the information to plug them, but I know there's going to be some in Grand Rapids and some in Saginaw that I could probably start promoting soonish, I think. Enjoy this episode with Jessica Harper. Thanks, everybody. It's been like, I've been wanting to look into different microphones. I've had actually some other suggestions given to me too, but I just hadn't done one for a while, and I wasn't really sure if I was going to keep doing it.
Oh, yeah. It looked like you had a lot of interest on that post, though.
Yeah, it was wild. Because I'd been thinking for a while, I really want to get back into doing, the podcast and stuff. And I was like, one day I was just like, oh, I'll post about it on Facebook, see if, you know, there's something. And then I couldn't believe it. My inbox was crazy that day. Just with people who were like, hey, I'd love to come on, or just me having to message people that commented or interacted with the post. And so that was kind of like reassuring, mm-hmm. in a way, like, oh, cool, these people actually care.
Yeah.
It's cool to be doing it again. I was thinking today, I was a little nervous, to be honest.
Really?
Just because I haven't done one in a while. Okay. So like, I was hoping, well, I figure I kind of slip right back into it, but I was like, do I even still know how to do it?
Right.
When really all it is having a conversation.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's nothing too crazy, but welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on and doing the podcast again.
I gotta say, I was legitimately surprised last time when you said that you wanted to have me on this I was like, really? Me? But it was really fun, so I'm glad to be back.
Well, I feel like it makes sense, because you and I go way back with the shows, and it's turning into... I wasn't really sure at first what I wanted it to be about. I just wanted it to be about, you know, people talking about what they're passionate about, but most of the time I interact with people who are into music, and so that's what it ends up being about. But
well, I mean, it's natural. Mm-hmm. You don't have to work at it at all, and just easier to have that conversation than it is to have a conversation about something you don't even care about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, and it just makes sense because, like I said, you and I go way back. We booked shows 10, however many years ago.
Goodness.
And which is crazy.
I feel so old.
I actually got into a bit of a conversation at work yesterday because someone mentioned there are two people who their kids, I think, are in the same graduating class next year.
Okay.
And, well, I guess that's this year. With the school year that started this year, they're graduating next year. And they said 2020, and I thought, wow, have I really been out of high school for 10 years?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And they both looked at me and just told me to shut up. Because, you know, they have kids graduating in that year. So they graduated, you know, 10, 15 years before I did. Yeah. So, which still, like, I mean, I wasn't trying to be rude, but to me, that's insane.
It's a weird stage of life, though, because there's kids that I used to babysit as little children, babies and stuff that are graduating and getting married and having kids and going to college and all that stuff. It's insane.
Yeah, it's like, where does the time go, you know? And when you think about, like, us, the shows that we used to do, you know, that might have been 10 years ago, but it still kind of feels like it was yesterday, almost. Like, even though I personally haven't booked a show in maybe a year and a half, but it still feels like, you know, time seems irrelevant now, especially now that we don't have, like, a fixed schedule like how we were when we were in school, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but you just get up, go to work, and go to bed, it feels like sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird, which is, I think, why I like being in the band so much. I mean, not so much lately because we don't play as often, but when we do play shows, it breaks the monotony of everyday life, so to speak. But yeah, last time you were on, we talked about Unity, and that just happened about a month ago.
Yeah. Wow, it's been a month already.
Again, time flies. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about that. How did that go? Like, did it sort of meet your expectations or exceed them? Obviously, you've been involved with it for a while, so.
Yeah, I've been involved for, this was my 9th year. It exceeded my expectations this year because it went so smoothly. I was always just waiting for something to happen, I feel like. But it was really good. I had a great team. We all worked really well together. We kind of divided our responsibilities a little bit better this year. So I was able to take care of the things that I needed to take care of last year that I didn't feel like I did very well with. And it was my first year. So, or being in charge at least. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had a great lineup, and we had BMX out on the point, which was a lot of fun. And nerve-wracking as well, because I just felt like one of the guys was gonna fall and break their neck, or I sound like an old mom, but but no, it was really cool. I can't believe it's already over. It flew by.
Do you think because of, like, the team that you have and, like, the experience that you have, do you think that's what made it so much easier, at least in this year where you were sort of in a more in charge position?
My team made it so easy. They kind of just saw what needed to be done and handled it, and it was really helpful. I didn't have to worry about anything because I had certain people that were in charge of the stage, and I had a stage crew, a production team this year, so that was really easy. They just handled everything, loading onto the stage, coming off of the stage, making sure that everything was running on time. It was great. And then I had people that were kind of in charge of programming everything. So in between all the sets, they had a game or some kind of just event that happened so that it kind of kept attention and kept people in the tent, which was cool. And then, my co-coordinator is in charge of all the volunteers, so I didn't have to worry about that. I checked in with the volunteers when I could, but mm-hmm. if I didn't get a chance to, he was there so he could take care of that. And I just had to worry about the artists and getting them to and from meals and getting them paid and all that stuff. So it was a lot less stressful this year.
Nice.
I think overall, the whole festival, everybody I talked to, everybody kind of said that it was a smooth year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what was different, but something happened and it was good.
No, so, oh, sorry.
I didn't you're good.
Interrupt. So with the acts at play, what do you kind of notice as far as what, when they come in, you know, they do their thing, they play the show, they work with all you guys and you kind of try to make it as easy as possible for them,
mm-hmm.
I would assume.
Yeah.
How do you sort of gauge their reaction based on, you know, their performance, but also like just their overall attitude while they're at the festival? Is it kind of like a positive attitude throughout like each of the acts and all the people that come into the festival outside of the crew and the volunteers? Mm-hmm. Like, does it seem like everybody that comes in to experience this, like from the performance aspect, do you think they enjoy themselves?
I think so. I mean, you get the people that have different expectations because
mm-hmm.
they've played different festivals or whatever. But for the most part, generally the people that we have are used to what we do. And there's a lot of bands that look forward to coming back every year. Or mm-hmm. not every year, but whenever they can. Yeah, I think that they generally have a good time. If they don't, they're lying to me. So...
Now, to sort of flip that, I guess, as far as, like, the community perspective, when you see, like, when you see people coming in that aren't involved with the festival at all, they're just attending
mm-hmm.
to see the performances and experience the whole weekend, do you feel as though the community appreciates the festival itself?
Yeah, I definitely think that the people that go, it's kind of the event that they look forward to every year.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely for me, even with all the hard work that we put in
mm-hmm.
as a whole, the volunteers and the whole team. It's a different kind of festival. It's a lot less, I don't really know how to explain it, but people definitely look forward to going there. And there, you know, there's people that buy their tickets as soon as the festival's done.
Really?
Yeah. And there's people that camp outside so they can be in the first in line. You know, it's, you got your diehards and you got the people that were like, oh, this was my first time coming. It was awesome. And I'd like to come back and blah, blah, blah. And then you have the, I don't know, it's different. I don't know if I'm making any sense right now.
Oh, I get what you mean.
But yeah, it's definitely what I do this for.
Mm-hmm.
I always make sure I take a moment at any show that I work and just take a moment, watch the crowd, and that kind of refocuses me.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me why I'm doing what I'm doing, because it's just to see all the people that are there enjoying themselves and loving the music and just the community of it. And it's a good view.
Yeah, this is the first one we've ever done where we weren't at the table.
Yeah.
So I imagine he's going to end up chilling more. Or maybe he'll just be, he'll wreak havoc. I don't really know.
At least I think people know who we're talking about now, though.
Yeah, I think he's come up on the podcast enough. If you don't know by now, if you're listening, we're talking about my cat, Lil Sebastian. He's hanging out with us, too. He's very quiet, though. He's probably not going to
interject. Ooh, who still has his nails.
Oh, yeah, he loves the claws lately. I don't know what it is about him. But, yeah, so, anyways, back to Unity. People are not interested in the cat they can't see.
Or are they?
Maybe they are. That's wouldn't that be something if everybody was just listening to the podcast thinking, just talk about the cat, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyways, with Unity, so this year sounds like it was a success.
It was.
And is there maybe anything from this particular year... He's very distracting.
I don't know what he's doing.
He's whipping his head around. I feel like
there's biting his nail.
There's a dance for that. I feel like what he's doing.
I whip my hair.
Yeah. But yeah, do you think that you learned anything, or maybe your experience this year because it was so positive? Do you think, you were able to maybe focus on other things and sort of learn what you could do better because you didn't have to spend so much time stressing out about things. And like when a festival runs smoothly and there's not chaos, that might seem like, as far as a promoter, that it's a little uninteresting.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right word, but yeah. I remember when I was doing shows, sometimes the most stressful shows were the most rewarding,
mm-hmm.
because once you were at the end of it and, you know, you got through it, you were like, all right, that could have been way worse. It was a lot better than I expected.
Yeah. And those are the most rewarding ones too, mm-hmm. honestly, and the most memorable.
Mm-hmm.
It's, what on earth? I've never seen a cat bite his nails.
Yeah. Maybe he's just nervous.
Maybe. goodness, I got distracted. I don't know, because we did a wrap-up meeting, and we didn't have too much to say, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we have notes about who we want back. We want the same team back and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... I know I learned a lot. I'm still kind of reflecting on it and kind of trying to take it all in and remember things. Because like you said, if it's a smooth festival, there's not a lot of things that you're like, oh yeah, I need to fix that next year.
Mm-hmm.
Or that didn't work out well, so we need to focus on that. You know, it's, we didn't have too much of an issue.
Mm-hmm. But the nice thing about that too is you can kind of see what works and continue to do that and even make those aspects of it better.
Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah.
Well, that's really great. I'm really glad that the Unity Festival went smoothly and that there wasn't any real chaos or anything.
Yeah.
I kind of want to hear what you think about this as far as that space goes, or not, space is a weird word to use, but as far as Heritage Landing,
yeah.
Cause it's a beautiful little area and, you know, right by, you know, the lake and everything. And there are events, you know, you have Rockstock Irish Fest. I think, don't they do some stuff with the Polish Festival there too?
Polish
as well?
Fest is at Hackney.
Or that's at Hackney.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you've got Jazz Fest, or Shoreline Jazz Festival, I think is what it's called. Moose Fest. I'm missing one. I don't remember, but there's a lot of different festivals there.
What I think, because it's such a, and maybe it wouldn't be a good idea to do this, but with how summer goes and, you know, there's already, you know, a billion things to do in Muskegon and during the summer anyway, it kind of feels like maybe we should utilize that place even more,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. I think that, during festival season, the public can't really use it very much, mm-hmm. because they close it down because of safety and needing to set up and tear down the festivals. But I would definitely love to see that place utilized more.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great facility.
Mm-hmm.
he's needy tonight. But yeah, I'd love to see more people taking their kids there for the playground and,
mm-hmm.
Going fishing there on the pier or on the point. Or I mean, pro tip, if you like hammocking, the bridge is actually a great place to hammock.
Really?
Yeah, on the very top of the bridge in the dome part, you can hang your hammock there, and it's actually a great place.
Hmm.
I
never would have really thought of that.
Yeah, it's wonderful because you got a breeze there and everything.
Hmm.
I love it. But then they have all these little not fire pits, charcoal grills, and so I'd love to see more people doing picnics or, you know, just using that space more. It'd be great.
Yeah, because I think, like you said, obviously with the festivals, they have to shut it down, and that sort of takes away the public use of it. But I kind of think a lot of people don't know, or at least I wasn't aware of it until I actually decided to throw a show there. But you can utilize that stage for pretty much anything you want,
mm-hmm.
as long as there's nothing already planned.
Right.
You know, as long as you're not charging admission for it,
I
think you can pretty much use it for whatever you want. And obviously, you know, as long as it's appropriate for, you know, an outdoor event or something.
Yeah.
But
as long as it's, like, family-friendly.
Because,
or as family-friendly as you can be,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Because when I threw a show there one time. We did have some issues with the police, But once we angled the speakers towards the lake mm-hmm. so that the sound was pushing away from downtown, the issues kind of stopped after that.
Yeah, but, I think it was just the noise thing.
But it does seem like a space that is utilized, but also like sort of underutilized. Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause I'll be in there sometimes and just walking around, or I'll run through the park and there's hardly anybody there, and I'm kind of just like really surprised by that. Yeah, I think as far as the festival season, it does seem like there's a full calendar throughout the summer, though.
Yeah, there is. I mean, it's kind of once, I can't remember what the first festival is, honestly. But once the first festival starts, it's kind of like one after another. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing for Unity is when you're doing setup and teardown, generally we have to set up all of the stuff. But then for Teardown, we leave a lot of stuff up for Moose Fest because it's right after, it's like mm-hmm. the week after Unity or the weekend after, I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah. One thing I also kind of want to talk about, and I hadn't thought about this until we started talking about Unity and downtown, because the last time you were on, we talked about the Frauenthal. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of work closely downtown, like at least with the Frauenthal. Mm-hmm. And I think we talked a lot about downtown sort of growing over the last few years and how crazy the growth has been, especially since now Boomtown Market that's in there now, and that building's finished and they started constructing other buildings downtown and everything. But there's also been a little bit of controversy downtown in the last few months. Well, I don't know how downtown it was, because I think it's a little ways out, more by like the courthouse and everything. Mm-hmm. But with the Redmonds, and then I don't know if we should talk too much about it, but there was something that was going around about Rad Dads recently too, in the last week or so. What does that make you feel, seeing stuff like that in the downtown area, seeing things that like owners who might have a completely different ideals and point mm-hmm. of views compared to the people that go to those establishments, like what does that make you think for downtown, like when you see things like that?
I think in general you're not going to be able to please everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I agree or disagree with what's happening, because honestly I don't know too much about what happened. Mm-hmm. I've heard some things, and it's usually from other friends, and I have very reliable friends that will try to fact check things. And, if I need an opinion, I usually go and ask them. But I think that there's people that are going to be all about everything, all for the growth and all for, new restaurants or new businesses opening up down there. And then there's going to be the people that don't like things unless it's their idea. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you're going to ever please everybody. I think that if you are wanting to start a business and there's an opportunity for you to do that, I think you should go for it. Mm-hmm. As long as the market's good, obviously. You don't want to do something that you're not going to be successful at. But yeah, I think that things were handled fairly well from what I understand. I don't know much about it, again. But regardless of the controversy, the whatever they're calling Redmonds now is amazing. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't been there, you should go there and try their food, because it's amazing. Mm-hmm. But I think that people make mistakes and people have their own ideals and opinions, and whether or not we agree with them, I think that we need to be mindful that they are people, mm-hmm. and that maybe something that happened in the past isn't how they feel now.
Right.
Or maybe it is. You know, you can't really know unless you know the person personally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of how I feel about it.
Right on. Well, and I don't bring it up to sort of stir up some sort of controversy. That isn't my intent. I just, because it has come up in the past, we kind of are in a current, I hate saying it, but cancel culture,
mm-hmm.
you know, like one person does something that's against, you know, a specific person or group's point of view, and then they take that, blow it out of proportion, depending on what it is. Sometimes it's justified, I guess, but
yeah.
And in the case with Redmond's, you know, this person whose past social media posts that just weren't great,
mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he wants to be a part of an establishment downtown. At a certain point, you have to ask, you know, has enough time gone by? Has this person proven that they really don't think this way anymore? Do they deserve to be a part of downtown, you know, given that, you know, you want people to feel safe going downtown, especially yeah. with the growth
yeah.
that has been happening. And so it's an interesting thing to think about when we see like a local business owner who also has other people involved in the business. You know, they obviously let him go and he doesn't work for, he's not involved with that establishment anymore.
Yeah.
But then you have the people that are like, well, these people hired him. They knew his personality and they knew what he was like. Can we support them if they supported him for so long? And the only reason they let him go was because there was a backlash
right.
to some posts that were revealed years after they were made. It seems like it's a weird thing where we want to cancel people. And we want them to have repercussions for what they did, which I think is all right. But where do we draw the line at what are we going to do to make sure that person doesn't do that again or actually mm-hmm. changes? I don't think we hold people accountable. We right. just want them gone. You know yeah. what I mean?
Yeah, you just want to write people off and, oh, they don't think like I do. So I want them to lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, not only did he lose his business, but I just think about how much, like, how would you feel if you were in his shoes? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, having the entire city almost,
mm-hmm.
like, throwing stones at you?
And what's interesting about even that point that you make is there are some people that would hear you and I having this conversation and think immediately, oh, you're just sympathizing with that person. Right. So you're not helping the cause because you feel bad for this person or mm-hmm. they don't deserve your sympathy. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Like, and it seems like it's such a strange time. Even like, and I'm not saying this because I think I deserve any sympathy, but even me saying this, there's people out there that would say, oh, this straight white male
mm-hmm.
has this thought. We're just gonna, he's been able to have opinions his whole life. Why do we even care about it? You know what yeah. I mean? Like, and I'm not saying that to make myself seem like a victim
true.
Or anything like that, yeah. but it's such a strange time, I think, just in general for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wants to, you know, it feels like we're all walking on eggshells, kind
yeah.
of. You know, we're terrified of getting canceled or we don't want to say the wrong thing to offend anybody, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but
right.
also, like, I don't think we're not talking about the right things to make
yeah.
sure.
And people are always too easily offended.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that too. And I think, again, there's a weird line where you have to justify, is this a right thing to be offended about, or are there worse things we could be offended about?
Right.
Because even the, you know, holiest of holy person who says all the right things, has all the right keywords and everything, still isn't, I had a friend explain it to me the other day, and you know, you could easily be, you know, you could say all the right words and do all the right things, but there's still people out there in certain situations that are worse off than you that you're not doing anything about. You can't be a perfect person, you know.
Right.
We have to,
well, nobody's perfect.
We have to have some middle ground somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, no matter how good you think you are, you're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to have something that prevents you from being perfect.
Mm-hmm. And I I don't even remember where we started talking about this with downtown, but it's interesting to see, and what's weird about it is it feels like, you know, that was a big thing for one or two days,
mm-hmm.
and then people kind of moved on to the next yep. thing, you know?
That's just how things, ow, you bit me. That's just how things go. Like, people mm-hmm. are like, oh, I don't like this. Let me talk about this to all of my friends. Mm-hmm. All of my friends are going to jump on the bandwagon, and then all of their friends are going to jump on the bandwagon,
mm-hmm.
and in 2 days, we're going to find something else we don't like.
Right. And you have to wonder if it's people genuinely caring, or if it's just, hey, how can I score my internet points for the day?
Yeah.
You know what yeah. I mean?
Like, how many likes can I get
mm-hmm.
on this post?
And I think,
whatever.
Which is unfortunate, but I do think social media does play a big part in that, mm-hmm. Especially when you, because, you know, these people that call out people, or, you know, and we could go even deeper with other things that people call people out for, but I'm not going to,
right.
you know, because they have a purpose, or they have something that they want people to know. And then I think people just see it and run with it, mm-hmm. because, like, they can, like I said, get their internet points for the yeah. day. They might not even care about the issue. They know, all right, if I post this, it's going to look like I have this point of view, and it's going to make a bunch of people happy, or it might even piss a few people off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can make those people look bad because they don't share the same ideals as me, and I'll get even more internet points. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it seems like you can only do so much by sharing a post or typing something.
Right.
I think the real change shows if you actually care about it, what are you doing outside of your keyboard?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's so easy to say whatever you want to say behind mm-hmm. a computer screen or behind your phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that you need to step back before you hit send. Think, is this really the best avenue for me to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Is this actually something that's going to help a situation, or am I just fueling the fire?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. I don't think that people take that time to think before they hit send.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big issue in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because just because you're on social media or on the internet in any format, and you have instant access to everybody that you want to have access to, that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to have that access, or that you right. should, or that you should say what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, I think that people need to think about, how is this going to affect me, first of all?
Mm-hmm.
How is this going to reflect on me in the future? How is this going to affect the person that I'm talking to or about? And how is it going to affect my neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just, we need to have a little bit more common sense, mm-hmm. I think, and courtesy.
Well, and it reminds me of being a kid, and my parents, because, you know, you're a kid, you say stupid stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, things, you blurt things out, you don't think about it, and then your parents tell you, think before you speak.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
And now we've moved into this new wave of technology where everything is at our fingertips, and if we have an opinion, we can tell the whole world
right
when we have it, and it's addicting.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're a person who has opinions that are well received.
Yeah.
You know, that like, or that, you know, reaction, or those comments, people live for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes it so, oh, I have this opinion, and I know if I share it, it's going to get at least, you know, 10 to 30, 50, 100
yeah.
reactions. And that's how they're going to get through the day.
Right.
You know? And I don't necessarily think that's a healthy way of being. You know, sometimes shutting up for a day
yeah.
and not saying anything is just as effective.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. I think that as a culture, we base our identity too much on social media.
Mm-hmm.
In a world where we're so connected to everybody, there's so much loneliness. And honestly, the cyberbullying and all that stuff, it needs to stop, mm-hmm. because that's what's causing people to feel more lonely. You can't get away from it.
Right.
Like, well, kids these days, I don't envy kids these days at all.
Oh, no.
I was bullied all through school,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to get away from it. Mm-hmm. And now kids legitimately, even if they don't have their phone on them, or even if they're not on social media, somehow they're going to see what happened. Mm-hmm. And kids can't get away from it.
Right.
It's awful.
Well, and I think what bothers me, when it, as far as when it comes to like the youth, like children, what bothers me is when someone who's, you know, a little bit older than us will say, oh, kids these days, they're too soft. They're addicted to their phones. They don't know how to go out and have a conversation or be involved in the real world. But then you hear stories about kids just killing themselves.
Yeah.
Because they can't handle, you know, the bullying or people taunting them or even online. Mm-hmm. Like it used to be, you go to school and then a kid would say, call you name or something. And then you go home and then you'd have a way to get away from that. Yeah. But yeah, now you, kids call you names and then you go home and your comments are the same things and you can't escape it. And it's just not really a healthy way to live. Also, I think I might go off on a tangent here and I'm supposed to let the guests talk on
this podcast. No, that's totally fine.
But like, I don't, because I myself am not a parent and I don't want to like say anything bad about parents because I don't know how to do that. It's not my thing. But doesn't it kind of seem like when we were growing up, like, I know I couldn't, I didn't have a cell phone until I was 16, maybe.
I didn't have one until I was 18.
And kids now have them 6, 7, 8 years old.
Yeah.
They have an iPhone or some sort of technology, you know, an iPhone. I have a 7, and some kids out there have the new iPhone and they're 8 years old.
Right.
And they, you know, immediately are put on social media or whatever app for kids is out now. I don't really know, but
yeah.
They don't really have a chance to sort of learn how to interact when it's, they do it to the screen.
Yeah.
You know, their interaction is via screen, via text, and mm-hmm. they don't know how to do it anymore.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that lies with the parents. I think if you're a parent and you think, oh, well, cell phones are, like, obviously they're convenient, they do a lot, they make life easier, mm-hmm. but if you're 8 years old, do you really need to be sitting on the phone all day texting people? You should be going outside. You should be jumping off of the jungle gym or something. Mm-hmm. You know, like how we did.
I've legitimately heard parents say that they want their kids to have the best of the best. Well, okay, there's two sides of it. They want their kids to have the best things because they never got them mm-hmm. as a child. Or the parents are so scared of disappointing their kids or their kids not being cool in school or, you know, just, I don't, that baffles me. Like, you're the adult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't have kids either, but I've observed enough parenting from good parents and not so great parents. I'm not going to say bad parents because it's a hard job.
It's subjective to the situation,
exactly.
Really.
Yeah. But I think that you need to be, just as a community of people in general, I think that we just need to be a little bit more intentional with building each other up rather than, you know, go have dinner with your family.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit down together, no screens, talk to each other face to face.
Right.
That would make a world of difference.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody started doing that, I think that it would change our culture.
Right. Well, and I mean, I hate talking about the podcast on the podcast, but this in itself has done so much for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting together with, you know, people I've haven't met or people I've known most of my life.
Right.
And just talking for an hour, like being able to have a chance to sit down and have an actual conversation aside from, you know, that's like, obviously we're recording this on my phone, but neither of us are sitting here on our phones.
Right.
We're actually talking and
I'm cuddling a cat.
Right. And maybe like none of what we're saying is important or like it's, you know, 10 years from now, this is just going to be some in the ether of the internet, you know, but I think, you know, even this, like we'll always have this recorded and we'll be able to look back on it or we'll know it happened, you know,
and maybe our opinions have changed by then too.
Right.
You know, and you think that you look back at kind of circling back to the whole Redmond's thing, maybe, and I don't know anything about the situation. I don't know him as a person. I don't know any of that, but maybe the things that he posted back in the day aren't exactly how he feels today, mm-hmm. but they're biting him in the butt because he posted them and they've right. come back, you know?
And a lot of, and again, not to justify anything that he might have thought at one point or right. may have think now, you kind of have to look at, there's a ton of aspects into what makes people think the way they think now, you know? Mm-hmm. Where did they grow up? Yep. Who did they grow up around? Did, you know, it's really easy for you to think, you know, racist thoughts if you grow up in a town or in a family that thinks that way.
Yeah.
If that's the way you're brought up and that's the way your mind has been, you know, set, that's how you're going to feel. And right. until you have the opportunity to go and branch out, maybe travel a little bit and mm-hmm. see other parts of the country, you're going to think that way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so to his benefit, I guess maybe that's the way he was raised,
right.
and he never got an opportunity to go out and meet other people, and he was just surrounded by people who had these ideals, and I've talked about it with people in bands and people in my band as well. Like, you know, you could say what you want about PC culture and everything, but I definitely think if I had never been in a band and traveled with that band and gone to all these cities and gone, you know, on tour and met all these different people from all these different walks of life, maybe I would still,
right.
or not still, I'm not going to say I've felt that way. I think I'm a pretty decent person and always have been. Not,
you're okay.
But toot my own horn, I guess. I don't know. I don't know why I said that, but,
right.
Like, I think if, had I been brought up, you know, in a culture or in a house that, you know, thought shitty things,
mm-hmm.
I would have grown up to be kind of a shitty person, you
right.
know what I mean? But I had an opportunity to travel, meet other people, and see that, you know, everybody's just trying to, you know, do their own thing, get through life just like we are, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like,
we're all just trying to figure out this whole thing together, and it would be great if we could actually do it together.
Mm-hmm. And some people, unfortunately, don't get that opportunity, and
right.
so if they're raised in ideals that are maybe a little outdated or not great, that'll be how they think.
Yeah.
Again, not to justify anything
right.
that was done. I personally, like, I think the posts that he did make or share were all terrible. And,
yeah.
you know, I can't justify that, but I can justify a person who wants to change
mm-hmm.
or maybe has already actively been changing that people maybe want to overlook because
right.
it shows that they feel a certain way and
mm-hmm.
they can, again, get their internet points. It
yeah.
sounds stupid, but
right.
you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I agree. And maybe we didn't give him a chance to change because we decided to shut him out,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a community.
Yeah. I'm not ignoring you. I'm just double-checking to make sure we're doing okay on time. Wow. I can't believe we've already been talking for 40 minutes.
Right.
Okay. So I feel like we got pretty heavy just then. Not to just completely change the subject, because I think what we were talking about is important. But,
yeah.
you know, given the amount of time we have left, I mm-hmm. think we should maybe close out on something a little more upbeat.
Okay.
Okay. So we talked about Unity. We talked about downtown. Let's talk a little bit about music and the local scene. Now, you and I mean, I'm still playing in bands, and you're still downtown working
mm-hmm.
with, you know, at the Fronthal or in Unity, working with...
Going to see your band.
Yeah, going to shows.
Kind of have to. My brother's in the band, so...
what do you think of how things are going as far as Muskegon music goes? Like, what are your thoughts on that currently?
It's different.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a bad way, but it's just different from what we grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
When we were running shows together, it's, and I was listening to the podcast that we did before on the way here, and I think you had mentioned something about, maybe there are kids that are doing shows in their basement and getting together and forming bands that we don't know about, and maybe we don't need to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's happening,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you don't see as many bands anymore. I mean, you see the people that, like you guys, that are just still going at it, and it's amazing, and I love it. And then you have the people like Mike, who is just the hungriest drummer, hungriest musician
yeah.
that I've ever met. And, you know, you see certain things of the music scene that we're used to, but then overall it's just changed. It's not quite the same as it used to be. That being said, I think that the scene in Muskegon is a very rich scene and a very diverse scene, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah. I would definitely agree with that. Yeah. Yeah.
You see a lot of different styles of music being played, and I mean, you can go to like a regular show, like when you guys play or whatever, or you can just go down to the farmer's market on any given Saturday in the summer, and you'll see two or three different artists performing, and or we have that what is it called, the street performers.
Oh yeah,
like that. I didn't get to go this year. I was really bummed, but it's amazing because you just get to see all of the people that are involved with it, with music and music or dance or just art in general.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what helps is it seems, I mean, as far as what I've seen, it seems to be backed by the community.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
And
I think we're getting there.
Like, you know, you have music at, you know, Pigeon Hill, mm-hmm. will have open mics and they'll have a person in Saturdays, and then that the next store place that's right around the corner from, mm-hmm. here, they'll have music like every Saturday or every other Saturday. Yeah, I haven't gone either.
And I need to go.
A bunch of my friends have done acoustic sets there or something, nice. And I still haven't gone. But or even that Smash Bar, I think, mm-hmm. I've seen they'll do.
Yeah,
stuff.
They started doing some stuff, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
And you know, Unruly obviously is the, you know, the house, and mm-hmm. as far as if you want music every weekend,
right.
you know, you have somewhere to go. But yeah, and I think even the musicians, from being in a band or being involved with bands for as long as I have been, it's been a lot of the same people. But what's been great about that is, and I'm not saying that, you know, we all haven't been talented or you know, we all haven't written good music in the past, but it just gets better.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you're growing together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's been really fun to watch, you know, your, like, as far as, like, us, Hexing, but even, like your Flexidecibels or, you know...
Dude, they're amazing.
Amora was the hot, heavier band for a while, and I think they're still playing. I actually haven't talked to any of those guys in a while. Maybe I should, but... Yeah, it just seems like it's a lot of the same people, but we're getting better. We're growing as musicians. We're all, or like Southpaw is, yeah. a good example. You know, I've known all those guys for a while, Brandon and Christian. I used to, when I was a kid, I'd go and watch their bands, and then, you know, they start this band, Southpaw, who's a great band, and mm-hmm. everyone's really excited about it. But I think everyone's so excited about it because it's great to see everyone still doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting better, mm-hmm. and enjoying it still, you know?
Yeah.
I really love seeing that everyone just sort of keeps going, you know?
Yeah, it's always sad when you see people quit music, because it's just, you knew that it was such a big part of their life for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I understand when, you know, if you get married and have kids, it's harder to be in a band and tour and stuff, but just don't quit music in general, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, it's, that's always sad. Because especially if it's people that have made really good music for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is good seeing people, certain people that are still out there doing it. American Opera, for one. Like,
right.
Oh, man, I miss John so much. I was just actually thinking about him earlier today. And it's just so good to see him. He came from this band that was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, just one of the best bands in the scene at the time. And he's still out there doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he lives in New York now, but he's following his dream and his passion. It's just, it's inspiring, and it's, I'm thankful that he's still doing it because his music is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's great to see is that when he does come back,
mm-hmm.
you know, people love it.
Yeah. And it's like a big family reunion too. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Because all the people from the scene back when he was still in this area all come together to go see him, and
mm-hmm.
it's just, you know, you get to see all your friends. That's really cool.
And it's funny you mention John, because when we played Bloodfest, the flyer, you know, they posted the lineup, the flyer got posted, mm-hmm. and it was all announced, and they had a line or a small portion of it blurred out. Like oh, they were waiting to announce it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought it was going to be a Your Best Friend reunion.
Oh.
Like, which, man. And I hadn't really thought about it. And then I saw people commenting and on their social media posts, and I thought, oh, wouldn't that be something?
It would be amazing.
And I don't know where all the guys are at in life right now, but I would absolutely love that. If any of you are listening right now,
please
make that happen.
We will beg.
But yeah, I think the as far as the local, and I haven't been doing such a good job of going to shows lately. Just life kind of catching up with me in the last few months, but
it's harder as you get older.
Yeah, and you know, things in your life change, and you don't get out as much, and you focus on other things, and you kind of miss a lot, but. I would personally, for me, I'd like to start experiencing a little bit more. And
yeah.
But the nice thing is that it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if I have taken a bit of a break, it's still there. And so I can kind of jump back in it whenever I want to. Ooh, sorry. This is great podcasting. Okay, so we got a little more than 10 minutes, so we're good to go. One thing I would like to talk a little bit about... and I think we talked quite a bit about this, I think, on the last episode. But you and I used to book shows together. If we were still booking shows right now, you get a 3 to 4 band bill at Unruly, we'll say. What would your ideal lineup be that you would book today?
It would be a weird one. Because I like so many different kinds of music.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have you guys, of course, because, I mean, I really love you guys. I really do. Hexene's a great band. If you guys haven't had a chance to listen to them, you should.
Thank you.
Shameless plug.
I did not make her say that.
There's a write-out right in front of me. I had to say it. No, I'd have probably Hexene and American Opera because, I mean, John's just so good. Do they have to still be together, or can it be at reunion?
Yeah, could be any at reunion, okay. An active band.
Oh, how many bands? 3?
3 to 4. Okay. I figured we keep it small, so people would actually go.
I could do a whole festival.
That's my thing, is like, now I'm not that old, but I feel like, in comparison, you know, I could go to a show that had, Johnson Hall shows used to have 16 to 20 bands on them.
Yeah.
And I could sit through that whole show and just love it. And now it's like, if there's more than 3 bands,
I'm tired.
It's a hard time justifying it sometimes, but.
Oh man. Now I have to narrow it down. I already got 2. I keep wanting to say Carry All.
Oh, that would be cool.
Or All As Well. One of the 2. Just to see them all play together, would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really weird show so far. Dockside Fever.
Oh, okay. Right on.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know what I would have the lineup be, but like the... I don't know who I would have open or headline, but that would be...
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
That would be great. I would love to see them rip it up again.
I unknowingly went to their last show. They didn't really tell anybody. And then Nick told us at the end of the show that it was at the Pyramid Scheme. And he told us at the end of the show that it was their last show. And I may or may not have teared up a little bit.
Oof. Yeah.
That was hard.
Yeah, I miss that band a lot. Are you going to the Fever Hit show next weekend?
I can't. It's Irish Fest.
Oh, bummer. Yeah. I forgot that was next weekend.
I really want to go, too.
Yeah. It's cool that they're doing that, especially, I think it's at the Park Theater, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was all about it, and then I looked at the date, and I was like, crap. Can't do it.
Yeah. That was pretty exciting to see. I loved the Fever Haze. And Jake...
I almost said them, too, and I should have. I'm sorry, Jake. And Jimmy.
But yeah, what... Okay, so that would be your ideal lineup. I'm also kind of curious to hear what were... I mean, I feel like American Opera would be one of the ones you'd say again, but what were some of your favorite acts that we worked with in the time that we were booking shows together?
Dockside Fever was one of them for sure, too. American Opera, obviously. My first show with you was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
My first official part of ODB shows.
Yeah.
It was Icon for Hire, Jamie's Elsewhere.
Oh, wow.
Somebody else. I can't remember who the third one was.
Yeah, that one escapes me, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been Building One?
Yep.
Was it?
Yep.
Nice.
It was Andrew and my first show.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That one feels like it was a long time
ago. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think, what would you say your favorite show was?
Aside, oh, like, man.
From the first one, your favorite show that we all did. I have a few, I think, that I could say, but I'm curious to hear what yours are.
Probably the last Fest that we had at the church in Ravenna.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one, because we had Bennett. Oh, I forgot about Bennett! How did I forget about Bennett? Yeah, we had them and Along the Shore, one of Zach's bands.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Lottalea there? Or no, was that...
Yep, Lottalea. They were on tour with Listener at the time.
Yeah.
And they played and then Listener headlined.
Yes, yep. That was a great year. Mm-hmm. Oh, I miss Listener too.
Yeah.
There's so many good bands.
I'll occasionally get... Well, I don't know if I'll get one now because the last time I got an email... I was like, oh, I'm not really booking shows anymore. Mm. And then I said, maybe try this. But yeah, I every once in a while, we'll get an email from them with a pitch for a show or something.
You got to take it next
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the unfortunate thing is not having rooms and not really working with Unruly anymore.
Yeah.
Either.
We have to make it happen though.
Mm-hmm.
I'll help you.
That would
be amazing.
I think my favorite show, and like I said, I have a few, I think whenever Wilson would come to West Side Inn, I always loved that.
He
loved
stole my scarf with that once. Band.
Oh, really?
He took it off of my neck, wore it for a song, and then put it back on my neck, and it was so gross. But it was funny. I mean, I would love to see that band again.
Mm-hmm. They're actually, I think, I don't know if they're touring, but they're playing with Coheed and Cambria.
Are they? They're
Detroit.
Still together?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And they think they're doing a lot
That's
better
awesome.
Than they... I mean, they were always really good, but... as far as their progress as a band, mm-hmm. they've exceeded what they were, 10 years
yeah,
ago when we worked
awesome.
With them.
Is it still all the original members?
That I don't know for
okay.
sure. I know, I think Chad, Jason, I can't think of his name. I know for sure that three of the guys are still in it.
Okay.
I can't say for sure that's the whole band though. But I'm still friends with a few of them on Facebook.
That's
so
awesome.
That's how I keep up with them, But yeah, I loved the Wilson shows. I think we did a Sweater Fest thing at Building One.
Yep.
And it was Audrey's last show.
Yeah.
The Lottalea played.
That was a good one.
Oh, I can't. Wolves and Machines played that show, I think.
Oh, wow.
Good Weather for Airstrikes played it.
Man.
Like, if you were a hot indie rock band in 2012, you played that show.
Yeah.
And it was such a good lineup. That was probably... And a ton of people came out, too, for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it was a great show. I had a lot of friends there.
Yeah. That one, I think I'll always remember, is one of my favorite shows. Yeah. There's too many to really name all the good ones. But I think also American Opera at LaMangelo's was a lot of fun.
Was that the one with... what was... The band that Courtney Grinwis was in.
Well, she was in a band called Adversary.
I think that was the one.
That was really solid. And then she was in another band. I mean, all her bands were good.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, like, she makes the bands that she's in, but every band that she's ever been in
She's just good at picking which
good.
Band to join.
Yeah.
Maybe that wasn't... No, that was... Okay, so it was... I'm drawing a blank now. I don't remember. I ran a show for you down there, and it was one of her bands. I think it was Adversary, and it was another band, but it was a really odd combination because it was like totally different genres.
Yeah.
But it worked.
I remember there was one show I regret because I love this band, but I've still never seen them live, and now I don't even know if I will because they're so popular now. Mm. But I remember, I think I had you work a show. It was Joe Hurtler and
That's the
Rainbow
the show.
Seekers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was the show.
The
it was
show?
Them and there was Adversary.
Okay.
And it was the weirdest combination, but it worked.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy.
Yeah, and
it was packed.
I didn't go because I think I was working another show that same day at the donut. Or was it the DAC or was it the donut hole?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember. It was one of those two places.
Yeah, I just remember, feeling like, oh, I wish I could make that, but I need to work this show. And then I was like, well, I'll send Jessica down because I can rely on her to work a show at LaMangelo's. Because like that was also a place that I missed
a lot. I missed that place a lot.
But it had its own, like, the nice thing about doing shows there is, you know, they had everybody on their crew knew how to do everything. Mm-hmm. And you really, like... those were the easiest shows I feel like I ever had to run because I either sat at the door all night or just watched.
Yeah, and you
I
just didn't have, really to oversee have to do that anything.
But yeah, lots of great shows. We've
been on some fantastic shows.
Every once in a while, I still have like the records from all the shows where I keep track of, you know, like how many people showed up and the bands and everything. Every once in a while, I'll scroll through it take a walk down memory lane.
Yeah.
And I feel real good about some of the bands.
Yeah, it'd be really fun to look through that.
Right on. Okay, so we got a few minutes. We can wrap up here. Anything that you want to plug?
Irish Fest? I don't know if this will come out before or not. Probably not.
Probably going to put this... I'm doing a thing where instead of one a week, I'm just putting them out the day after recorded. So,
cool. Come to Irish Fest.
Right on.
It's a good time.
I guess we can close with, I have a few different things I like to go to for the close, and I don't know if we did this one on the last time, but what's something, the last 2 minutes, say something that if you were to go back and listen to this, you know, 2 weeks from now, 2 years from now, what's something, a bit of advice that you want to have for yourself?
Oh, man.
That you could hear.
Long pause. just work towards what you want. Just work towards it a little bit harder. Look into the possibilities and see if it'll actually be feasible. I don't really know exactly anything else. That's just what popped up.
No, I like that. That's good advice.
Make it happen. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, maybe not in a month, but just make steps to make it happen.
Keep your head up.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, thank you for coming by again.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And that hour flew by.
I know. It's crazy. We've come full circle now where time flies, and now time flies. It's also a band, or a song from your band, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm really glad I didn't get that wrong.
we make that joke a lot. But thank you.